Hello, everybody. Welcome to the House of Learning Minds. I got it going now. You can see what I'm talking about, the problems. I thought I had our theme music fixed and going as it played last show. I listened to it and it was on. Tried it today. It didn't come on. Then it started sounding as I turned it off. I could hear it through my internal speakers. I'm trying to let you know what we go through here with the bad equipment, and it could be better if subscribers and patrons were there. And so I decided to just go out because I didn't have a meter reading and make sure that I had a meter reading more important than music. So that's what we did, and we're back on the air and glad to have you with us at the House of Learned Minds, where you always get a double help of the justice and truth. Sheesh. That's why I explained to you the situation I got to you. We're going to have a good show tonight. We're talking about advantages and what exactly is advantages and who really enjoy the advantages in this country and in this world today. First of all, we're going to do some preliminaries. I just got through watching SWAT. They are over in on the CBS station over in Thailand filming that show, or they filmed that show in Thailand. And they just had a very bad, atrocious crime there with the massacre of daycare students, 24 dead, 23 children, from a former Thai police officer who supposedly had been fired, I believe, allegedly for drunkenness and alcohol. He also killed his wife or former wife and his child or children. At the end of the show, at the beginning of the show, a matter of fact, they had a little saying on the screen that it was filmed before the massacre. But heartfelt condolences go to everyone, and I think that's nice of them. And the same thing from the House of Laird of Mons. We give them our heartfelt sympathy here, and we know what's going on. The killer used supposedly both a knife and a gun in this massacre. The knife is now becoming a very prominent weapon of choice of criminals, as I predicted. After one criminal's, going through the United States stabbing people, I knew there was going to be more copycats, as the saying goes, and that's what's happened. And that's all over the world now. People are stabbing you. So you got to watch out for somebody getting close to you. It's not just a weapon, a pistol anymore. If somebody got a knife or a nail file or whatever, a screwdriver they can use. And these people, many of them, don't have good sense. I think I dealt with one last night on Facebook, and we were talking about the movie Black Panther 2. And of course, I made Black Panther, so I typed in and put my information in that because they were talking about one of the characters was queer, and I don't like that word. It's always was a derogatory word, as far as I'm concerned, toward gay people. But they use it toward themselves to be cute and funny and so forth now. So that's what they were saying, that one of the female guards, royal guards, I really don't know if it's male or female, but that's what they say. They had been in another production where there was supposed to be a lot of homosexuality in it. Award-winning actor or actress. But I stated that as being the creator of the Black Panther, I did not support a queer being placed in there simply for the sake of placing a person of that sexuality in something that I created. Nothing I created. I never said that I would not have a scene or there's nothing for them and no work for them, but I don't think that they would have been members of the Royal Guard, because if you know the religion in Africa, there's almost no country, especially during that time period when I made the show, where homosexuality was accepted, whether you're Christian, whether you're Jew, or whether you're Muslim. And even now, there's the death penalty in several African countries for homosexuality. So I didn't like that. A white gentleman started harassing me. He used the same stale joke. You're about to give me a stroke. They don't know how to say something different. And if you're stupid, you're going to give yourself away. This guy, I think, had 15 followers. I went and looked on his page. All of the photos and so forth on there were of him, looked like mug shots. He turned his head this way and turned his head that way and so forth. And his eyes looked like he was a crazed individual, that he was just evil. And it was on TMZ. You can go and look at it now and see what was said. TMZ's page on Facebook. And they took them down. They didn't take my statement down. I got my badge from TMZ. I brought a lot of people to TMZ. TMZ was very little until Larry Lamaze got there. Now they got 3 or 4 shows a day. Nobody wanted to be interviewed by TMZ. In airports and so forth, they laughed them out and the tourists ran them away. I don't have time. Now they talk about, oh, you're my friend, you're my buddy, glad to see you, come to dinner, come to lunch. That's all because Larry Lamaze embraced them. So I'm glad they stuck by me and got rid of the sucker, because I told the people, watch out for this guy because he looks like he is a dangerous person, and he is. Anytime some grown man wants to harass an elderly person, want to harass a child or a woman, you know, you got a problem. And you won't be able to see him anymore, I don't think, because I couldn't see his comments. And then there's another, a friend came up and I read his page. And he said, well, you think you got me now, don't you? I imagine that meant that he probably was kicked off of Facebook before and come back under an assumed name. These are troublemakers that we will deal with tonight, that we're talking about the advantage of being a white man. That he thinks he can get away and do whatever he wants to do. Plus, he's keyboard warrior. He gonna bust a grape with his bald head itself. And told him, I said, he's crazy. Watch your children and watch your pet. And I looked down there, he's hugging a dog. Got on a furry costume. You know he's a nut. Got a furry costume on, hugging a dog. And a lot of women and children get in trouble letting people like this nut contact them via the net. Don't meet them. And if you do, make sure it's at a public place. But I said that talking about Thailand. I watched the whole SWAT tonight, and I never watched SWAT, hardly. And of course, they want to show you that the many people in Thailand are criminals. They're in the dope trade. They got children in the dope trade. One of the white men I saw, he came up and he said, well, here's my wife. You look around, it's a Thai woman. He's a good guy. They could have given that to a Thai person, man, to play the part of the friend of Shamar Moore. But they didn't. They gave it to a white gentleman. Of course, one of the head guys and the crime kingpin there was a white guy in Thailand. See, a lot of people don't know when you talk about white advantage, they got a lot of white advantage over there in Thailand, where they've got the sex trade as well as the dope trade that they didn't talk about, that they won't talk about the white tourists that's got places like Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, Cuba, India, as their ports of call, and just to lay up with children, underage prostitutes. I like to see SWAT do a show on that. You know, I talked to you about human trafficking and started to talk about human trafficking. I'm not getting down on them about the show, but I like to see them do their show over there and show that the Americans are bad, the Americanos or whatever you want to call them are bad, and how they are sending young American girls and girls from Africa, girls from India, girls from Pakistan, Japan, and so forth, Korea, that think they're going to look for work and they're going to be a prostitute or a dance girl in the dance hall that's being run by good white men with the advantage, ashish. I really wasn't going to talk about that, but since I saw that, I had to bring that up and let you know about it, because it is very, very interesting that that show came on tonight. But like I said, the massacre there in Thailand, and I don't know whether those same good white men helped to make this Thai police officer a drunk. Going into the clubs and then to the strip joints and the dance clubs and so forth and the brothels and with the underage children. Girls just want to eat and take care of their family. A lot of time they're sold into those things that white men pay for them. But they try to show you that the good white men is there to protect the good Thai people. Baloney, sheesh. And we're going to deal with the advantage here. And I imagine they get the advantage there by the government, some of the Thai government, and people that look the other way. Because they getting their palms greased. And it's paying a lot of taxes and funds and so forth. But we're going to get off of that and get on some other things. The Valdi, Texas Police Department have liquidated, or at least temporarily, its police department. And supposedly, one officer, a female, was hired by the school district, but was terminated yesterday. But we all know that the Valdi Police Department got problems, got issues. And the families, no. Don't want to call them cowards, but what are you going to call them? You're not going to call them brave warriors or brave combatants that's willing to fight crime, you know, and take their stripes. That mean if they're hurt and injured, but I'm not going in. You go in first. No, you go in first. Nobody wanted to go in first, but somebody was in there and they just stood there listening to shots being fired. I'm actually just like at the daycare in Thailand. Well, they're out of a job, at least temporarily. I don't know what the union's going to do about it. I don't know what the court's going to do about it. I don't know what the state's going to do about it. But we'll see. Also, we have here Vladimir Putin is showing his behind again, showing his so-and-so, his mother would say. It's his 70th birthday, and he's revving up the rhetoric talking about he is going to attack the Ukraine and anybody else that looks at him cross-eyed with nuclear, biological, and chemical weaponry, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's the same thing he said all the time. And of course, Biden don't know what to do. Say, well, he'll do it. If he said he'll do it, he will do it. Wrong thing to say. You know, I told you I ran for president. I would not have said that. The first thing I would have done would have told him and told the United Nations by emergency communique, let him try. We're tired of your rhetoric, we're tired of your doo-doo. As mother would say, you're scratch. Daddy would say, you're scratch. Tired of your scratch. So whatever you're going to do, do it. Pee and get off the pot. But I tell you what, since you said that, and since you are having nuclear practice along with the North Koreans and sending up missiles over Japan and over all the other places with warheads that people are afraid are nuclear, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to send those jet planes to those bases that you didn't want them sent to and dare you to blink. Now try me. And sheesh. And I would tell him that. I would call in the Russian ambassador and tell him that. You don't know who you're playing with. We got the same damn thing you got. And better. And more of it. So don't, you know, write a check you're behind, can't cash. You go tell President Putin walking out that gold doors with them goose-stepping guards with the hats look like they are working at Disneyland. You come sitting in your gold chair. You're not the grand poopah. You're not the king of the world. And the world is not going to bend down to you any longer. And if you think so, you got another thing coming. So Biden said that he wondered what is Putin's off-ramp, meaning it's just like a four-lane highway, an interstate. You got the on-ramps, entries, and then you got the off-ramp, the exits. Well, I would tell you, if Putin didn't know where the off-ramp was, I would lead him to it. I'm going to put down them little, you know, yellow cones they put on the highway when they just want you to go through them. You're not supposed to go around them. You're not supposed to go, weave through them. You're supposed to drive straight through them. If it turns, you're supposed to turn. You're not supposed to keep going straight because you determine, well, that's the way I always go. You're supposed to take the detour that the cone said. So I would tell him, follow the cones. I'm going to lead you to the off-ramp. We're tired of your doo-doo. We're tired of your scratch, and we ain't going to take it anymore. Don't make us have to get out the yellow tape as well as the yellow cone while you're playing. Because nobody afraid of you. He's in hiding and said that his officers and everybody is telling him straight up, you have made a mistake, Mr. President. You cost the life of many of your people. Now he's got the draft where now the men are running. It's really not a draft. It's just anybody. He's putting old men, children in the front line because he's crazy. You got to talk crazy to him too, like I was talking crazy to the man last night. Whatever you want to make it, make it. And sheesh. Don't start none, won't be none. But see why they don't like me on AOL, on Facebook or Twitter? I can give as good as I take. I'm a world-class comedian. I'm a world-class lecturer, satirist. I got wit coming out of my kazoo. Don't start it and it won't be none. You start it, I will finish it. and then tell you, bye, Felicia. You and your horse can both ride out of Dodge. So Biden is a little bit scary to talk that type of talk to Putin. Say, well, if he said he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Y'all better watch out for him. He better watch out for me. That's the thing. Putin's scared of his own shadow. Putin won't. Putin, if you, you know, take the right posture with him. They took the wrong posture, which was they should have took a diplomatic posture, but a strong diplomatic posture. I thought that we were supposed to have a meeting with Putin. I thought we were supposed to have a meeting with his foreign leaders. These meetings had not occurred. Is Biden scared to go to Moscow? I wouldn't be. If I had to go with 20,000 troops, I'm going to show up, Mr. President. You know, if I got to have 20,000 Secret Service agents, let's call them that, and embassy guards, and the beast. That means the presidential limousine. I'm going to drive up right to your door, to them gold doors, to them goose stepping there, give me the high Hitler. I'm going to walk right past him like I don't know him, don't see him. And walk straight up to you. Look you in the eye. I'll shake your hand because I'm courteous. I'm in your home. Ain't no need me to show my behind in your house. But we can step outside anytime you want. And sheesh. Do you hear me talking? See, Biden and Harris, neither one know that. Donald don't know that. We're going to get on to some other preliminaries, but I just thought that these things are sending up all those rockets trying to scare people. You know, Kim killed his half-brother, assassinated his half-brother in the airport. Had two women, they thought they were in a reality show, like Trump, and they were really in a reality show. It wasn't Bravo. Sheesh. And they put a handkerchief over the mouth of the brother with some wet substance on it that turned out to be biological chemicals, the same thing that we're talking about. So we know North Korea got him. The Soviet Union got him. And of course they will use him. They have used it in the past. See, Putin has killed other people with nuclear chemicals in different forms or have made them sick, even a father and a daughter. Let's talk about Constance Wu and Fresh Off the Boat. Here's another actress of color talking about how it's mistreated on an American TV show. Here's what I'm just telling you about the show. She's an Asian woman that states how she was vastly mistreated. I won't get into the treatment that she alleged happened to her, but what we do know for a fact, I would never have taken a show that was called Fresh Off the Boat if I was an Asian. Not just like a Polish actor or an actress or a Norwegian actor or actress taking a show called Fresh Off the Turnip Truck. Sheesh. Them white actors ain't gonna take a show called that. Or they're gonna tell you, at least change the name if you want me to be in the game. But she took that show Fresh Off the Boat, got a little fat, overweight Asian son that's supposed to be funny simply because he's fat. That's the reason why he was chosen. Nice young man. Nice young man. Another one I see is different actors and actresses that we'll talk about on Magic Monday movie. I saw some of the things that we're talking about with The Walking Dead, and I did a little research and found out who some of the characters that I didn't know who they were in the backstory, and see that they are continuously writing the backstory of these characters. But we'll talk about it. I won't give away some of the things I read. I don't think some of the sites want that information given out tonight, so I'll talk about it on Monday after the show airs on AMC on Sunday. Two dead, six wounded in Las Vegas. Las Vegas Strip by a knife wielding foreign nationalists. And supposedly, allegedly, he said people were laughing at him and looking at him. I told you, I kept telling you, I've been telling you for months, watch out for those. The people don't listen to me. Even he couldn't get close to you because you could have ran, or you could have took your jacket off and wrapped it around you or your sweater or so, your arm. The best to get stuck in the arm, to get stuck in the heart. And sheesh. So I'm telling you about defensive tactics to save your life and the life of your relatives. Speaking of relatives, in Central California, four family members were kidnapped from a trucking business they owned by a man who they later arrested, but is seen on closed circuit television leading them out of the building. A husband, a wife, a 8-month-old child, their 8-month-old child, and an uncle. Sad to say, they have found all four of the bodies. This person they arrested supposedly attempted to commit suicide. And his brother has been arrested in connection with the same crime, allegedly. We're not getting into guilt and innocent. We don't know who did it, but it's on camera with the gentleman having a gun. I call him gentleman, leading the four out of the building. That's why I say in cases like that, fight. Those men were just as big as he was, two of them. Even if your hand tied, I would have knocked him over that rail and he would have dropped that gun and been on him so fast he wouldn't know what hit him. They didn't think. Where do you think you were going? But to the desert, a farm area, a swamp, to be shot, I don't know what for. But he wasn't taking you there for any good reason. I don't know if he supposedly was thinking about ransom. But I would say defend yourself. And let the cards, you know, lie where they may lay, where you may knock them this way and that way. And you hope that he goes the way away from that gun. And you can get your hand on it, or your wife can get your hand on it, even if you got to drop the baby. That's better than all four of them dead. Not making them take the blame for their own deaths, but I have to say that. Also, I want to say about, I just read about the death of a young woman in Brussels, Belgium, who committed suicide because of some event or airport. So she was there during a bombing and she survived. When she was 17, I believe it was back in 2016, something like that. But they allowed her to commit suicide, euthanasia, simply because she had survival remorse. They make me sick with these laws that these fools don't know how to administer. If the woman wants to kill herself because of survivor remorse, that means she's mentally ill. You don't go along with her and say, yeah, we're going to help you kill yourself because you're mentally ill. She wasn't injured. Didn't receive a injury. But we are in that type of world, and you got Americans now are going to want you to have that type of a situation. You know, they just put that young girl in prison and she just got out. But the boy kept saying he wanted to kill himself. Well, then that meant that, quite obviously, she shouldn't have served today. If you want to kill yourself, just like she said, kill yourself. Go ahead. Nothing I do about it. I'm just being frank talking the law, just as I did with the talking about Black Panther. Getting back to the Black Panther. I never gave anybody permission, Stan Lee or anybody else, to use that. So that's why attorneys I have talked to told me that it still belongs to me. It doesn't belong actually to Disney. It doesn't belong to Marvel. They're using it. Stan Lee took it, and I've let them all know that it belongs to me, that I am the creator. And I got my badge from Marvel and Disney. They consider me a very good person on their site, even though I tell them I'm the creator. Now, they can think I'm crazy all they want, but actually I am, as I said, the creator of the Black Panther and Storm and some other entities. And with DC, some things there too. But moving on, we have to talk about Trump and Mar-a-Lago. He's talking about the documents belong to him. The government, federal government, telling him we're still missing sensitive documents, and documents hasn't been returned. I think they had 40 empty folders that had on it different grades of sensitivity or secretiveness, you know, talking about national secrets of the United States that he took. That's the song saying that he had cleared. He can't clear himself to take anything illegally. Do you know, actually, nobody has said this, but I want to tell you something that probably will be said in the court of law if this went that far. When he last took the office of president and turned the office of president over to Joe Biden and didn't stay for the inauguration, he couldn't go to the kitchen and get a handful of ketchup packages and say how much you like ketchup. He couldn't go out with a handful of ketchup packages in his pocket because that would have been considered stealing, because those ketchup packages belong to the United States government. They have their own food, the first family, that is paid for by the first family. All other is for state affairs and governmental affairs and for White House personnel, such as the cafeteria. So if he had went out with hot sauce packages, ketchup packages, mustard, whatever you want to make it, mayonnaise, it would have been illegal for just that, no less with documents that he didn't know. So you hear things a way that nobody else would tell you, but the way Larry Lamas would tell you. We're about through with our preliminary show, and we're going to get on advantages. We got enough time. This week, we're going to talk about what is advantage. Those men in the January insurrection, what did they say? They're talking about the good white man. That the United States were being taken over by blacks, being taken over by Asians, being taken over by Latinos, and that they were being put out of work. Everything was happening bad in their communities because of people of color. You know, so they're saying white skin and its advantage, I'm going to give you some information this week. This week, what did they have? They had someone cheating playing chess, a chess champ and master, supposedly, with vibrators and beads and so forth all over the place, and said that he admits probably cheating at least 100 times online. I was a member of the Chess Federation. Never cheated in a game or a match. Didn't care if I lost. I lost. Said good game. Let's set the board up again. Sheesh. And if you're in a tournament situation like that, you say, I get you next time. Good game. The second one, where a white female supposedly was caught cheating playing poker, championship poker. The advantage of white skin. Able to have money to even get in the pot. I don't know how much you had to put in the kitty to even get in the pot. Most black folks and so forth don't have that type of money. They can play cards and beat her playing poker and so forth, but they don't have that money. The white advantage of being a white female gave her that advantage over the rest of us. Just like the advantage, I told you that the computer wizards had over me, that people like Bill Gates, Zuckerberg, Steve Jobs, and on, Steve Case had over me. Their families all were rich, powerful people, bankers, the people that worked in the government, worked in legal aspects. One thing they had was a garage. We got a little garage that I saw my dad when I was a little baby. He don't think that I remember, but we put our initials there in the concrete at the doorway. The children made of wood that looked good when it was new. But it got in disarray. These white guys had a garage that's heated, many times carpeted. And they do everything in there, from going in there and play music where they can make a Grammy-winning record. They go in there and they do scientific experiments, or they become techies. I didn't have that advantage. I didn't have that money. I tried to get the money from the city. Couldn't get it from the city for the advantage. Now, the third cheater that I want to tell you about was the fisherman that I thought about the day before. I was working on the idea for a fishing contest. But this two men had been at a fishing tournament and won the tournament. That means the most weight for all your fish together. And one guy like me, like I said, cause and effect of physics, the law of physics, looked at the fish and said, ain't no damn way that fish can weigh that much. And sheesh. He cut the fish open and started bringing out weights and supposedly other fish inside the fish that they put frozen fish in and stuff, supposedly, allegedly. And they were very irate. And they said they think that they have been cheating in tournaments all over the country for some time. Not willing to by having a small fish and somebody having a bigger fish with the most weight. And say, well, I get you next time, you know, fishing buddies and say, fishing partners and say, you know, that was good. I enjoyed it. See you next year. We'll be here. But the advantage being white, if that had been black folks, they would have went straight to jail. If that had been me, I went straight to jail for fraud. What happened with them? Nothing. Last time I heard, one person said, call the police. I don't think they call the police. But why would you want to cheat in a fishing contest? Part of the enjoyment, as mother and father used to do fish, is to catch the big one, or the big one that got away. Sheesh. So when I thought about advantages, I started thinking about advantages of my life, of what happened to me, why I'm in this situation, and I don't mind putting the blame on the white man that had the advantage of having the white skin, might not had the advantage of having the intelligence, not having the advantage of having the skills. I wasn't put on the basketball team and so forth. I told you, I was the first one to get a scholarship, though. But I wasn't put on the team because I was a little black nerd with glasses on. But I could outplay all of them. From all those hours put on that court that my mother had took her green stamps and bought me a basketball and so forth, and a hoop and so forth. And we put it up, and Pappy, when it came, got some of the biggest stakes and put them in there. And I had made a backboard that glowed in the dark, and we put it up there. And he got light so I could play at night right over it, night light. Well, I could beat all them guys playing basketball. I remember when this same college I was telling you before, I went out for the team, and I beat them. The coach invited all the other players to a barbecue at his house. Me? No. But that's all right. But find out that his son made the team without even suiting up. Oh, you don't do me that way. Of course, I went to, at that time, I had some close administrators who happened to be president of the college, dean of the college, and so forth, administrators and counselors, and I told him what happened. This guy stacked the deck for his white son and his white son's friends that they make the team, that they actually didn't have to score a basket. They didn't have to do anything to show that they had any proficiency playing basketball. He was promptly fired. I still didn't get on the team. But the advantage of being white, I'm talking about basketball, about the white coach they hired for our high school team. He's talking about how he's coming there to rescue the black folks, rescue our team from the white school across the river, high school. Well, there was something that was said by him later on, after they made so much about this man being white and talking about the poor folks. He saw one, I think, player who had a nice car, and he said, I wonder how much dope his father had to sell for him to get that car. How much do he love us as black folks, saying something like that, or loving that player, loving his team? And I was one of the few that said it, have no problem saying it. I don't want you here, you ain't got to go home, but say, get the hell out of here. And if I had been on the school board at that time, I would have put in the resolution, immediate termination, with no benefits while you're playing. But this is what, as black people, you know, I had to put up with. In college, they kicked me out, being the smartest one there. But having sense, having education, didn't mean for nothing that usually that would mean for making the dean's list and everybody else's list and being the valedictorian, the salutatorian. I get nothing, get kicked out because I'm smart. Say, well, we're afraid he might do something. You know what wasn't going to do anything, little 60-year-old man. But you say that because you got to say something to protect yourself. Say, well, we're not afraid of him right now, but he might do something later on. White folks' advantage. Ain't no damn way a black man could say a white man didn't commit a crime, but he might commit a crime later on. So I'm all right with what I did to him illegally. at the same time, that happened to me. One of the teachers that backed me, I told you, was a gay teacher. Had a husband, a male with a male. And we got along very well. Very well. I won't get into some of the things. But he talked about how they had kicked a white gay student out because the student was supposed to be around children and they had a daycare there. Well, as far as I was concerned, he hadn't violated any law by getting an education. If anything, those kids didn't belong there more than he belonged there. And the only thing is for him to just make a line away from where the daycare center is and never go that way, he's okay. Don't catch him talking to anybody's children, he's okay. So they kicked him out. But he sued and got put back in. And this teacher was with us, want the class to back him. A white student. Me as a black student, I couldn't get back in. This kid had committed a crime. That's why they had made him a sex predator. That's why he couldn't be around children. Me committing zero crimes, couldn't get back in. The advantage of being white, even if you're gay. So you can cheat at playing chess. You can cheat at fishing. You can cheat at poker. You can commit all these crimes. That's why they say about the police department killing all these black men, women, and children, even naked, so you know they don't have any weapon, can get away with saying, well, I thought they was going to do something. They just got a police officer that just shot a white kid, looked like his white kid, teenager, at a McDonald's, so had a Mickey D, that I came up with that terminate. Terminology, Mickey D years ago, at a Mickey D. He shot him actually for no reason. The kid got scared because he could have jerked his door open and he was jerking about, and the kid probably didn't know who in the hell he was with a gun in his face. And he's trying to get out of there. And he shot into the car and wounded the young man several times, but now he's fired. But let's go into the scenario that we always say. If the kid had done something, usually he walks away and he didn't even have to buy his hamburger. They would take him to the hamburger stand even after a massacre and buy him a lunch before they take him to the lockup. We don't even get to the lockup. We go to the morgue. The advantage of being white. The advantage of having money, the advantage of having power over other people. When I worked for those restaurants and so forth, and they got me down there in the wintertime picking up wine bottles out the ditch, while all the young people and the white people are inside laughing, looking out the window, and I can see their breath on the window. By the way, we got the first snow this morning, and in Upper Peninsula. I don't know if it's snowing out there now or not here in the Lower Peninsula. But I'm out there scraping up gum off of the pavement with a spatula. And white people crying. I said, why are you crying? They said, they treat you so badly. There's no way I could have treated a white man that way as being his manager. That this is the best employee you got. This is an employee that haven't missed a day in 5 years. No matter how bad you treat him. And you treated him that bad because you wanted him to quit. And then when you take it to the government, they say, well, what you want me to do about it? If it had been white, they wouldn't know what to do about it. If it had said Larry had mistreated Luigi over here and made him pick up wine bottles while everybody else laughing at him, scraping up gum while everybody laughing at him. Larry would be out of a job and would be sued. They would make me pay him damages. Luigi would be rich off of my wages. But there's something to being white and having advantages. These men, like I said, in the January insurrection, how could you lose it? You not only had a white advantage, you had the population. You were the majority. Everybody else was called a minority. And you still couldn't hold it together. Maybe you weren't responsible enough to have it. It's just like they say, like this planet, the aliens can come and say, well, you don't deserve it. You don't know how to treat it. We've been watching you from afar. Well, we as people of color have been watching you from afar, Mr. White Man and White Woman, Karens, and the Eddie Haskells, as I call them. We've been watching you from afar. It's not a threat, but what it is that we already had a black president and got a black female Asian vice president. I'm kicking butt and taking names in this little room like I told the man the other day. Don't get any money for it. Have nothing to show for it other than what I can point out that I created, what I've said, how famous I am, and we'll get into some of that on another occasion. But this is why I'm saying to black women, as I said about the Walking Dead the other day, that I had to do a research on these women. Why would you want a white man as you know is a murderer, that you know is crazy, that you know is a con man, that you know is overweight? Why? Or Sterling with the basketball team that decided that black people were supposed to come to his games or to get a good seat, at least. And the nosebleed seats was all right until the black woman that was going with him, or Hispanic woman, whatever she is, decided, I got to say something. And told. Just had another one with Phoenix. The same way. I don't know what women he's got. But I always told you, the ones that white men that don't like the men of color like our women. And the problem is our women have become so docile now that used to be the strongest member of the household because of what they see on television have built them up to be immune to the grief and suffering of their men and their children. Ashish, at the hands of someone else. So when you got Black Lives Matter and people walking the street protesting, now you got those women, members of Congress, black and Hispanic women, that decided that they were tired, were not going to take it anymore. Ashish. And the white man get mad, I dare you have an organization called Black Lives Matter. I was the first one that used that term. Just like say her name. But I said that with Sandra Bland. They didn't want to think that black lives matter, but white lives matter. My education didn't matter to these people, but the white kids' education mattered to them. Even the safety of their children didn't mean as much as protecting him over protecting a black elderly man. Ashish. I never had to cheat at chess. I didn't play poker. Pappy used to play sometime with the other Polish and so forth, and there was people cheating there too. Pappy didn't have to cheat. He knew what he was doing. But a hell of a fisherman, he and my mother. They go and come back with buckets of fish and so forth. And they just enjoyed being together. But they didn't have to cheat to do it. they didn't buy fish off somebody else so they can come home and show to his kids, see how much fish I got. They stood out there all day and all night long fishing because they liked it. He was retired at that time. Her kids grown and can take care of themselves. I just worried about them being gone on that water so long, and a lot of time it would be storming. You could see it thundering and lightning, and they had their rain gear. Pappy had that little strong aluminum boat. Those police officers that mistreated me here did all they wanted to do to me. And then when I call and complain, they roll their eyes at me, mad at me for complaining. They're on the department. None of them can pass examination for certification. But they are able to serve for 20 years and so forth and retire or go to another department, but cannot pass certification. You know doggone well I would have passed it the first time. But white skin and white advantage gives them that advantage over me and over other applicants that could have did the same thing, either other white people that could have passed certification. You should be just as pissed as I am at these cheaters playing chess, these cheaters waiting down the bat, using steroids, whether it's in the Olympics and so forth. In Russia, one of the biggest ones, they said, they can't do anything right. They got to cheat even in the Olympics. Can't be trusted in doing nothing right, not even playing children's games. Sheesh. Well, you listen to the House of Larry Mahomes, you always get a double help of the justice and truth. We're about ready to get out of here. We'll be back on Monday. Monday movie magic, sheesh. Where we're going to be dealing with, of course, The Walking Dead and The Talking Dead and some other things that we're going to be talking about in entertainment. As only Larry Lamaz can bring it to you. I hope you take what I say tonight and understand that that young man that said to me last night at Facebook, because he's white, thought that he could say whatever he wanted to say with immunity. I applaud TMZ. I only had one other post or site or page did that. Guy was picking with me and messing with me, and I thought the guy and administrators came up, and I thought he's mad at me. He said, no, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to him. Because the guy, he know me, and he know I'm this and I'm that, and he said, prove what you said. He kicked him off. This is the only time, and so I support, they see that I support them, they supported me, because they could have deleted my statement too. They did not. I had no way to prevent them from doing it. There was nothing wrong with the statement. They are a news source. They want news information. They want scoops. I gave them news information. It's not a scoop. And if they want an interview, I would give them an interview. Sheesh. But he thought that looking at him, his pictures, like butter won't melt in his mouth. Simply because he's white. Well, that advantage is not going to go very long. You know, because you don't have the majority. That's one thing. And people, even good white people, are voting for non-white people now. Well, you listen to the House of Larry Lamaz, where you always get a double help of the justice and truth. So glad to have you with us tonight. Sorry we had trouble at the beginning. And it could be just like it was the music, that I had an open mic, but I don't see the meter moving. Now it is. I wasn't about to sit here for an hour and talk and wasn't on. So thank you. We'll see you. As Pappy said, Reverend Cook said, I don't care what you think about me, but I love you an awful lot. Sheesh.